nation. We certainly may wish each other a blessed new year as we stand together here and come together in the house of God. And one of the most wonderful wishes that the scripture itself has given in the words of John, I'll find it for a moment, is certainly what I wish for you, for myself. Beloved, John writes, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So may that be the portion that God may give us, a prospering soul and a prospering life that may not always be in how we define it, but that is a life of faith, a life of waiting upon God. So let us come before to gather before God in the first place to pray and to express our dependence on Him and to receive His blessing. So let us come before the Lord. Our help, dear God, is in Thy name, in Thee, who has made the heavens and the earth. In Thee, who keepeth truth and faithfulness forever. In Thee, who never forsaketh the works of Thy own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you, and peace from Him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the Prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us sing together Psalter 391. There are stanzas 1 through 4. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, Thy mercy show. On Thee alone my hope relies, let me Thy kindness know. So we'll sing 391 and thereof all four verses. Let us turn in the scriptures to Isaiah 40. Scripture reading for this morning is from Isaiah 40. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God, and speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, thou that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice of strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, and say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs of his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor has taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burn offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they're counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? What likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains, and he that is so impoverished that he has no oblation, no offering, chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman, prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown, and yet their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who has created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So far the scripture reading this morning. Let's especially also remember Roger this morning. He woke up at 4 o'clock with extreme pain in his left side or right side, probably kidney stones again. So he may be in the hospital at the moment, I do not know, but let us at least remember him as well in the needs as we begin this new year. Let us pray. O eternal and almighty God, it's been our desire to come together on this new year's morning and to spend a few moments with each other before thy throne. There is no better place to begin a year than to begin it in thy house of worship, bowing at thy feet. And, O God, grant us that portion this morning, that we may perceive that thou indeed art with us, to lead us and to guide us in this moment of worship and prayer. Thou art our refuge. Thou art our strength. And thou art the source of all hope as we face this new year with all the uncertainties of life. And Lord, we pray that thou would strengthen us in the faith of what one prophet proclaimed so well, that thou changest not, and that therefore the sons of Jacob, who have put their trust in thee, shall not perish or be consumed, even though the rage of Esau will be leveled against them, even though they will face the world's opposition and adversarial power. Of old thou hast laid the foundations of the earth. Heaven is thy throne, and earth is thy footstool, the prophet says. And Lord, therefore, teach us not to fear what the world can do and what the world may face, but rather teach us to fear him who rules over all things in this world. Instill in our hearts this morning that trusting that will make us blessed no matter what circumstances thou seest fit to bring upon us in this year. Lord, we have to learn time and again that blessedness is not circumstances, but blessedness is relationships. A relationship united by grace to thy Son, living and relying in faith upon thee. And we pray, therefore, that thou teach us all to wait on thee, as we hear and read in the scriptures this morning. Teach us, Lord, day by day, thy way, to live by faith and not by sight, by faith and not by calculations, or reasonings, to rely upon thee, as here we read the prophetical statement, to be proclaimed to all those in Jerusalem, short but powerful, behold your God. And may that, Lord, also be our attitude of heart in this year that we have begun. And especially, if our way may be rough or painful, teach thou us in all those circumstances to say, thy sovereign will be done. We read of one, Lord, in thy scriptures, who in the most difficult circumstances was able to say, it is well. And that grace will thou not withhold that from us in the circumstances that we may need to face. And if it is thy will, O God, that we may have to resign to thee what is so prized and precious to us, whatever that may be, teach us to still say, thy will be done, for thy will is good. And O gracious Lord, we need thee therefore, hour by hour, day by day, moment by moment. Thou knowest how some of us have entered this year with a weary and faltering step, limping as it were, across the threshold between last and this year, with the needs and the circumstances of our life increasing or continuing. As we think of our brother Roger at this moment, Lord, as he is in such a pain at the moment and begins this new year in such a unexpected manner. And we think of brother Brian as he is still in the hospital in Madison, and the ongoing needs that he and his family face also in the year ahead. And we think of others, Lord, who are weak and struggle with the age and the elderliness or the weakness of their body, or those who are recuperating, or those who indeed are entering with fresh wounds and fresh emptinesses in their lives. As we've seen so much destruction of life and property in our country, in our neighborhoods around us. And so, blessed Lord, let thy word also to us and to them be the answer to all our spoken or unspoken questions. And that this portion of scripture this day, which is so comforting and so relevant to the lives that also thy people are to live today, may it be a special word of thee to our hearts this morning. And we pray, dear God, that thou would visit this vine of thy planting and cause our church family to be watered abundantly out of the treasuries of that river of God that is full. And may it please thee, O great God, to turn the wildernesses of human hearts, the barrennesses of fallen hearts, into a fruitful plain and a fruitful field in which we may see the glory of God upon the lives of young and old. Well, thou be thy people among us, may they grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let thy people, Lord, more and more abound in love to one another. And wilt thou perfect what is lacking in their faith, that we as thy children may be strengthened in faith to rejoice in hope. And as we last night heard that cry of the poets, if thou wouldst mark our iniquities, who shall stand? That thou also would give the answer, Lord, in the heart of thy children, that therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we stand, and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. And may that be strengthened, that truth, in the heart of thy children. O God of hope, fill thou thy children with all joy and peace in believing, that each of thy people may abound in hope through the power of thy Holy Spirit, strengthened with might in the inner man, knowing more and more the incomprehensible love of Jesus Christ, that he may dwell in their heart, that he may speak through their mouth, that he may be visible to their actions, and that so thy church among us may adorn their life with good works. O God, that thou indeed would cause us to be abundant in the good works of gratitude and devotion to thee, that thy name be glorified. Thou hast said, let thy light so shine that men may see thy works and glorify thy Father. So, God, wilt thou remember thy people, poor and needy. We remain in ourselves. But, oh, when thou fills us and guides us, oh, then we can jump over a wall. Teach, therefore, our fingers and our hands and our feet and our mouth and everything of us, Lord, to live for thee. And cause those who are small in faith, weak in faith, infants in grace, to mature spiritually. And that the matured in faith may remain humbled and dependent, and enable such indeed to bear with the infirmities of those who are weak in faith, so to live as Christ lived, denying ourselves, following the Master. But Lord, we also pray that in this year we may witness that the streams of thy sanctuary, the working of the Spirit, may break forth upon new ground of unregenerate souls in our church family. We long to see every mouth of the poet, every mouth join the poet, who exclaimed, O magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. For I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my foes. O God, make a name for thyself. Put to shame the powers of Satan and darkness. And cause also in our children and our young adults and teenagers to we lift them up to thee. We pray that thou, God, blows upon their heart that they may be born again, such that are still dead in sin. And we also pray for our young people in whom thou art working. Nourish such plantings of thy grace to become the trees on Lebanon, cedars, and may be useful for state and church. And thou knowest, Lord, what is then also happening in the heart, sometimes hidden, that we want to hide from others. Oh, we pray that thou bring to the open thy own work, and let all gainsayers' mouth be silenced, when they may behold the works of the Almighty God. And Lord, we pray for those who have wandered away from thee and from the folds of thy church. They think they can live without thee, but wilt thou let them experience this year that to live apart from God is death? O God, bring them back to thyself, to thy word, on their knees, as broken souls, those who are wandering away, who are embracing different ideas, who perhaps, Lord, are led astray by thoughts and philosophies and thinkings that are not biblical. O, we pray, keep us, Lord, from being led astray by the spirits of this world, And so we look to Thee, O God, continue to strengthen also our faith that Thou art the King of Kings. That nothing happens in this world except what Thou wants to happen. That this world is not ruled by men, not by Washington or Moscow or Beijing, but ruled by the King from the throne in heaven. And therefore, Lord, as we face this year also a change of leadership in our country and various levels of our government, we pray for men as Hushai rather than Ahithophel. We pray for men as Josiah rather than Ahab. We pray for men who may lead our country courageously, biblically, and may lead them in the international needs and national needs as a prayerful, as a seeking and a dependent man. O God, and Thou art the one who sets up one and puts down the other. And we look unto Thee and cry unto Thee this morning. Remember our nation in Thy great mercy. We lift up those that cannot be with us here today. Again, remember Roger and bless him with the relief of the pain. Remember Brian. So far, Lord, Thou hast again helped him, make him feel a little better this morning. But Thou also knows what is still facing him in this year. Make it possible, O Lord, that also for him the ultimate treatment that may still be used, may it be possible, O God, for that to take place yet this year. Thou knows that it is a human desire for his wife, for his family, for us as church family also, but teach us to say, Thy will be done. Lord, bless all others who cannot be here this morning because of weakness of body. Strengthen also all Thy servants whom Thou art sending forth into this world to minister Thy word, and those that are being trained, and those who train those who are being readied for the ministry. God, make us men mighty in the Scriptures, fearless of men, filled with the Spirit, Christ exalters and man abasers. Oh, bless us richly with that Holy Spirit to be bedewed upon our soul, that so we may bring forth glorious truths out of this Scripture. Hear our petitions, O God. Forgive us our sins that cleave to all we do. And will Thou hear us for Christ Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Well, let us sing of Psalter 247. The timeless words of this Psalter. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. 247. Let us sing all of the stanzas, while together also we have an opportunity to share the gifts of our hearts. portion of Scripture, congregation, that we have read this morning is written to encourage discouraged people. It begins with comfort, and it ends with comfort. Comfort, in the old Latin word, comes from cum forte. That means intense strength. This has nothing to do with circumstances. We have, in the 17th century, changed the meaning of comfort, and it has gradually morphed into a relationship to circumstances, and we feel comforting circumstances. But the Bible doesn't use the word comfort in that setting. It speaks in comfort about relationships. You notice how our catechism starts? What is your only comfort in life and death? It's not that I have the best of circumstances, but I have a relationship. I don't belong to myself anymore, but I long to my faithful Savior. That's the only way to face a new year. That's the only way we can face the circumstances of an unknown year with confidence, if you have the relationship with the right person. A person who can face the circumstances that you might face, who can lead you through the circumstances he might lead you through. Now, such a person is God. And that's why in this chapter, this whole prophetical portion of chapter 40 is summarized in three words. In verse 9 it says, "Behold your God." That's the only way you can find comfort in this life. And the context of this chapter, of course, is a scene of great discouragement and oppressive circumstances. And for some of us, maybe 2016 begins like that. Obviously begins with some of us who have circumstances that are discouraging, that are weighing heavy, that are oppressive. And though the word disappointment or discouragement is not to be found in the dictionary of faith, it is often found in the vocabulary of the believer. Because we are still human, faulty and failing people. Yeah, and you feel that also in these chapters of Isaiah. These people that God is addressing in this chapter are sometimes very overcome with doubts and fears. For example, if you read verse 27 of this chapter, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?" Now, that's what they're saying. That's what they're thinking too. Remember last night we heard that? We often are thinking differently than what God's thoughts are, and that's where our problem comes. And our thoughts begin to dictate it's oppressive. But when God's thoughts live, there's liberty. And Jacob thinks this: my way is hid from God. Now, what does that mean? That means something like this: God may not even be aware of what's happening with me. That's what Jacob thinks. My way is hid from God. That's foolish thought. Though it sometimes feels like that. God has forsaken me. He's letting us go on from bad to worst. My way is hid from God. Is that true? Is that really true? His eyes go to and fro this whole universe. Is his way, Jacob's way, really hidden from God? And he says, my judgment is passed over from my God. That means God isn't standing on my behalf anymore. He's failing his word to me. Now, that's the language of unbelief. And very common when we go through difficult times, and even the best of saints, their feet will slip. So the Jews may have some reasons to feel this way. They've been for 70 years in Babylon already. Jerusalem is ruined. The power of Babylon is undiminished. And they are as a small nation in the hands of a powerful giant. That's the context. And in this context, God writes chapters 40 to 66 as the answers upon the questions that discourage. Now, I would like to take your thoughts with you for a moment. If you have the Bible open, Isaiah 40. And you notice how many questions are asked in this chapter. God is using that device often in the Bible. You ever notice that? Often questions. Why is that? Because God wants you to think. He wants to engage our thinking. That's why questions are asked. So before he answers the doubts and the fears, he says, think for a moment. Let's look at verse 12. Who measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? The waters of all the ocean in the hollow of his hand. Who has meted out the universe with a span? I mean, a span is just like a yardstick. The universe. You get the feeling of the small and big, right? Who's comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure? Who weighed mountains in a little scale? Now, why is God asking all these questions? And the chapter goes full with questions. He wants us to think. Is it reasonable to think as you think, people of God? These questions are asked with a tone of surprise. How could you forget this about me? And sink down in all your discouragements, my people. Am I not the same God who created all things, maintaining all things, who's guiding all things? Think. So the whole chapter goes on, and I would just like to take your thoughts this evening morning to the last verse. We'll take that as our text for the night, our text for this morning. Let's read it together. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Beautiful scripture this morning is God's call to take courage. Who are addressed? Those that wait upon him. Secondly, what is promised? Well, there's various things promised. They shall renew their strength, mount up with eagle wings, run and not be weary, and walk not faint. Now, what's the certainty of this so wonderful promise? We'll look at that lastly. So briefly together, let's ponder. Who are addressed? Well, it's clearly our scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord. They're given the names of Jacob and Israel, but they describe this passage by those that wait upon the Lord. So who of you are that? Who's waiting on the Lord? And what does that mean, to wait on the Lord? To wait. These people who are waiting on the Lord, there's two things that you need to carry in mind. And ask yourself, that's you. They are keenly aware of themselves as weak, as unable, as dependent. These waiting people on the Lord, they don't have it in their own hands. They feel intimately and personally they are dependent on God, and they are convinced of one thing, that the help in their life needs to come from the outside of them. They can't manage anymore. They need God. They need the Lord of heaven. And that does not only apply to the outward circumstances, but also the personal spiritual circumstances. They realize they cannot do it themselves. The second thing about those who wait upon the Lord are they keenly aware that God is the Almighty and the gracious helper that they need. That may have been a journey for them to discover, but they have eventually discovered that the only one that is able to guide him through the circumstances of this life is the Lord God Almighty. And therefore they wait on him. So, who are these waiters on the Lord? And what do people do that wait on the Lord? Now let's look at that a little closer. What is it then really to wait on the Lord? What do those people do? The word wait, congregation, is a synonym. No, let me rephrase that. The word waiting is one description of what faith is. Waiting is believing. Waiting is trusting. Waiting is coming. Waiting is looking. To wait is to put our hope and our trust in him and to commit my case, whatever it is, personally, spiritually, physically, socially, family, to God. That's waiting. That is to bring my need to him and lay it before his throne and say, Lord, I cannot do it anymore. And I bring all my need to thy feet. Do thou for me what I cannot do myself. That's waiting. And that's not a one-time act. That's a daily act. That is a daily exercise. To wait does not mean to do nothing. To wait and see. That's not all waiting is. Not the biblical waiting. The biblical waiting is an act of faith. Let me give you a couple examples of biblical waiters. I look at that woman with a 12-year sickness problem that made her totally unclean, and she's getting worse every time she tried a new remedy. Now, when is she waiting? When she's sitting at home? Or when she is coming through the crowd to the hem of Jesus' garment. She is waiting on Jesus. When she is pressing through the crowd to touch him. That's waiting. I see another woman. Her daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And she has heard Jesus is in the area. And she comes after him. And she cries, Son of David, have mercy upon me. When is she waiting? When she's sitting back home with her daughter? Or is she waiting when she follows Jesus with a loud crying? Yes, she is waiting on Jesus when she is following Jesus. She's waiting on him when he doesn't answer. When he does answer her somewhat, and when he finally answers her, it's not fit, woman, to give the children's bread to the dogs. And she lays at his feet saying, Amen. Truth, Lord. She's waiting then. See, waiting is the act of coming, of trusting, of putting and committing myself into the hand of God. It is a placing of my hope and my salvation upon the Lord. Think of another word of waiting. Perhaps it makes it clear. Waiting is entrusting my case to God. And now God says, those that wait upon me and upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So be clear this morning. Waiting on God without using the means and without wrestling at his feet and without calling upon his name and without taking his word and pleading it before him in prayer and waiting on God without doing anything that he's calling us to do and expecting some great miracle to take place is not waiting on God. That's tempting God. Wouldn't you say that the farmer who waits on God and sits in his home and expects that the harvest will grow and he prays for God to bless the harvest to grow and he doesn't come out of his farm and does the work he needs to do, that he's waiting on God? He's tempting God. because he separates what God has joined together. And so spiritually, waiting upon God is not doing nothing. Waiting is wrestling your case out and laying it with all your brokenness in broken words, perhaps in broken sentences, at the feet of God, waiting upon God. And such waiting people do at times experience great discouragement. Why? Well, because sometimes God waits to answer. Now that's a different wait. The waiting that we now read in the scripture, for example, in Isaiah 30, when we read in verse 18 this, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you." Sometimes the Lord waits to show his mercy. He waits to answer his prayer. He waits to give you what you so much desired. And that is a time word. That's a word that indeed refers to the fact that sometimes in God's providence, he may wait with answering. Delay in answering. And delay is not a denial. God has sometimes good and wise and loving purposes for letting us wait a little longer. Remember that shepherd who saw his sheep over the cliff? Remember that he saw him sitting there on that ledge, dangerous, very dangerous. And he saw the sheep and he heard it bleat, and then he went back home. Checked an hour later, went back home. Checked an hour later, went back home. And not until he saw the sheep flat that he descended to the ledge to get the sheep. And why did the shepherd do that? He knew if he would go too early, he would fight that sheep, would fight with him, rather than let him take him up gently. And so God sometimes needs to wait. He did not send Israel to Babylon for 10 years, but for 70 years. Why? Oh, he needed them to be broken, humbled. And it took that long for the next generation to hear the message of God, why they were in Babylon. And that little remnant began to respond as an humble people. So, friends, so God lets us wait. Wait at times to purify the heart, to make us prize the salvation that we so desire. But he will not delay those that call upon him. He will never put you to shame. Never. Has he not spoken that often? And let God's children rise up with me to testify that God has never put one to shame who put their trust in him. Never. No, he's not on my timetable. He's not on your timetable. He has his own timetable. Our times are in his hand. And so sometimes discouragement, you notice this chapter, the people are discouraged. Verse 27, they said, "The Lord's ways are, seem like my way is hidden from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over, and I may speak to you this morning." Now, what is it to speak? Well, that's my second thought. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, it's amazing promises. Those of you who are waiting on God and begin this year again as you see all the circumstances and the needs of your life and feel discouraged in yourself spiritually, feel discouraged in your family, in business, perhaps whatever you take along from this past year into this new year that's weighing you down, if it's bringing you at God's feet, if it is making you wait on him, if it is causing us to feel poor and needy, unable to help ourselves, laying at the feet, now listen to what God is answering you this morning hour. He shall renew your strength. He shall renew your strength. The whole promise. There's four promises almost in this passage, isn't there? Three. He will renew your strength. What does that mean? Well, that means that they need new strength. That means their strength is gone. They're exhausted. The difficulties and the challenges you have faced this past year and the past journey have so exhausted you. And that's why you're waiting on Him. That's why you bring it to Him again. Lord, I can't handle this any longer. I can't believe anymore. I cannot trust Thee anymore. I cannot sing in this circumstance. I cannot rejoice. I am downcast. I am depressed. I am spiritually so down. I know I don't shine the glory and the grace and the joy of that salvation anymore. Lord, I can't handle it any longer. I will renew your strength. I will continue to feed you and to strengthen you and to guide you in this journey, that you will trust and fight on in this journey and learn to submit. Keep looking, friends. Keep looking unto this God and keep bringing your weaknesses to Him. God promises that those who wait upon Me, I shall renew their strength. He says, I also make you rise up with wings as eagles. Now, that's a majestic bird. You know, you think of these eagles soaring up to the sky, circling higher and higher, till you hardly see them out there up in the utmost regions of the sky. It seems effortless that they go up there. Yeah, it is also effortless for most of them, because it is riding on these uprising winds. As God says, look, that's what I will do to you that wait upon Me. I will lift you up as the eagle soars up. Now, what's that mean practically and spiritually? That could be two things. When the eagle is soaring up from the sky, it's peaceful up there. You're away from all the noise and the tumults and all the distractions of this world around you. You're lifted up above all the circumstances. I will make you soar as an eagle. I will take you in the eye of the storm. And I will there give you the feeling of the peace and the joy and the strength. God promises that He will give strength to rise above the circumstances. You know, I see one of those soaring eagles when I listen in Philippians 4 to Paul. In prison, not able to preach, 3 years already, suffering, no pleasant time. But He's just soaring. I rejoice. I am content. I have peace with God. I know that God is at hand. And the circumstances I am sovereignly in is because He put me in it. And they will stay in there. I will stay in there until He finds it the time to take me out of it again. That's a soaring eagle. That man soars above all the circumstances of his life. And he enjoys the very communion with God. Those that wait upon the Lord shall have such moments this year. They will have such moments in the most difficult circumstances. That'd be one of the expositing thoughts. But there may be also another way to look at this eagle going up. You know, there are times when we struggle on in our journey and we cannot make sense what God is doing in our life. Just doesn't add up. But you get a whole different perspective of life when you get up onto wings and you rise up in the skies and you look down on the earth and you see the things around you from a different angle. Maybe that's also what God promises in this. I will sometimes take you up as an eagle and make you see what you know not now, you shall certainly know hereafter. What you cannot add up at this moment, it still does add up. Behold, I am the Lord, And what is crooked, I will make straight. And if I have made it crooked, there is some purpose of it. I'm thinking of Joseph now. As he soars above all the circumstances of his life in Genesis 50. And he says, the Lord put me here. The Lord has put me here. You didn't do that, my brothers. God has brought me here. See, that's now that ego view. When he looks back at all the journey circumstances of his life, and he says, yes, Lord. It's maybe David's view. When he has been pursued by Saul for all those years, and finally he writes in Psalm 18 at the end of that journey, where sometimes he felt fearful that he would not make it. And then in 18 verse 35, he writes this, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand has held me up. Thy gentleness has made me great. As he looks back, now he sees gentleness. He didn't see that when he was being pursued by Saul. But now he looks back. Thy gentleness has made me great. That's what God promises. The day that wait upon him shall be renewed in strength, shall be lifted up with wings as eagles. And then lastly, he promises they will make him run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. It doesn't say that they will be running on smooth pathways. It doesn't say that. He'll make you run the race and not be weary. He will give you the strength to walk on and not faint. Following God's will is always an uphill battle. To follow Christ, my friend, is to deny ourselves and to take up the cross. To be a Christ follower does not mean an easy pathway. Afflictions abound for the righteous. Think biblically. As I've reminded you this past year, I'll have to remind you and myself, just as much, needed as well, that to suffer is normal. And to not suffer is abnormal. That's biblical thinking. We live in a cursed world, and God has said the afflictions of the righteous will abound through many tribulations, from one to the next, to the next, to the next, shall the pathway be for entering the kingdom. 2016 will be no exception. But if we are waiting on the Lord, and if our heart is looking to him, you shall run this journey and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. When I see again so many of the saints in Scripture walking that journey with joy and thankfulness. James is not writing as an inexperienced author when he says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations. He knows what he's talking about. Peter is knowing what he's talking about when he exhorts the believers, rejoice when you are being tried for your faith. Why rejoice? Because God's promise is that when you wait upon him, you will have to run through fires. You'll have to go to the rivers. You'll have to go to the uphills and to the valleys of shadows of death. But I am with you, and therefore you will not faint. You will walk and not be weary. And maybe the Israelites, when they heard all that, they said, well, how can I be sure of that? Those are all beautiful words, Isaiah. How can I be so sure that that will be truly the case? Well, that's my last thought. What's the certainty of it all? Let's consider that after we sing. 347. I'll sing all the verses. The watchful care of God unto the hills around do I lift up my longing eyes. And what follows in 347, 1 through 4. What is now the certainty of these words? We may make a wish to each other, but there's no certainty in a wish. I can wish you strength, and I can wish you the eagle's experience, and I can wish you all that. But that's no certainty. What is then the certainty of these words? Well, notice there's one name in this verse that I'm going to lift up at the end. Those that wait upon Jehovah. That is the certainty. I said earlier today, comfort is not having the right circumstances around you. comfort is having the right relationship with the right person. That's comfort. And no matter what your circumstances are then, you still have the joyous assurance of this verse that you can face the battle, face the uphill battle, face the difficulties. Whatever it may be that this life is still going to bring to us. We do not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And if I am held by the same hand that holds the future and the past and the surroundings and the circumstances of the place I am in, then I have nothing to fear. And so what is the certainty of these promises? Friends, if I am indeed trusting upon the Lord, I am waiting on the Lord. This is how that psalmist put it. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, whose fruit will be sure, whose leaves will not wither. His work shall prosper. Why? It's nothing to do with a tree, but the water. Why will these waiters be renewed, be rising as eagles, be weary, not weary when they run, is because they're waiting on Jehovah. Who is Jehovah? Who is this God who speaks so assuredly to his people that wait upon him in this morning? Stop worrying and trust me to take care of you. Who is this? Well, the Isaiah chapter 40 sets him out in some glorious, glorious pictures of truth, isn't it? If you look back in the scriptures, we read already verse 12 to 14, in which he is stated in his glory by the questions that are asked. You know, he's greater than all the world he created. He's greater than all the circumstances you and I could face. No matter what circumstances we face in our life, he is beyond those. Therefore, if I am waiting on him, who holds all the circumstances in his life, no need to fear. No need to fear you will not make it. No need to fear you think you cannot handle it. He will carry you through it, no matter what you will face. Because look, think of it. The circumstances are no bigger than the universe, are they? And he holds the universe in the palm of his hand. He sits on the circle of the earth like this great God who holds this whole universe, as it were, in his own hands. Therefore, you and I, who are so small compared to this massive universe, what need to fear? If you are waiting on the Lord and entrusting to him your family, your loved one, your personal soul, the most important. And if that is the attitude of my daily life, as we bow before him, as we commit our soul, we commit ourselves, our loved ones to the hand of God, we can't keep them. We can keep nobody safe. We cannot keep our own health. We cannot keep our own safety. We can do all we can to protect ourselves, my friend, and it will not stand up. Except if I'm in the hand of him who holds the universe. That's the certainty. Those that wait upon Jehovah, they shall never be put to shame. You know, there may be circumstances arising in this year that we could not foresee. The world is a dangerous place. The directions in the world seems to be a dangerous direction. We're facing the tensions of ISIS. We're facing the eroding of our liberties. Don't forget, we are not facing an easy future. But those that wait on the Lord do not need to fear. Why? Well, he's bigger than those nations that are rising up. Look at verse 15. The nations are as a drop of a bucket. The big nations and powers of this world, he says they are counted as the small dust of the balance. He take up the isles as a little thing. We don't need to fear. If we are facing this 2016 with fear in our heart of what might happen to us, then you are not exercising your faith in Jehovah. And I may encourage you, therefore, to bring that fear to him and to wait upon him. He is greater than the vain idols. He is greater than the mighty of the earth. Think about verse 21. You know, have you not heard? Have you not known from the beginning? Have you not understood? He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof are like grasshoppers. Now, what inhabitants is he thinking of? Nebuchadnezzar. That's that big grasshopper. That's all he is, a grasshopper. In the days of Isaiah. And we face other grasshoppers today that can make our life rather miserable, because you know grasshoppers can make your life very miserable. And the Jews know about that. Clouds would sometimes come over the nation and the ground would be covered with a grasshopper army. And a day later they're gone. There's nothing left of your land except barrenness. But he says, look, these nations and these people are like grasshoppers. Those princes of the world he brings to nothing. Those judges, those powerful judges of the earth, they are as vanity. They shall not be planted and sown. I will blow them away. Now that's comfort. Jehovah is the Almighty. So if you add all up these evidences, friends, this vast universe, the inhabitants of the world, the circumstances of our life are never bigger than Jehovah. And therefore, if you are one of those waiters I identified in the beginning, then you shall be renewed in your strength. You shall mount up with eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. We need not to worry when you have God on your side. For if God be for us, who can be against us? Certainly, if you do not wait on the Lord, if you are depending on yourself, if you are looking at your own resources and you're going to be able to manage it so without this waiting attitude, then you're in big trouble. Because then you have to face it by yourself. My only comfort in life and death is I do not belong to myself, but unto the faithful Savior. There's only two options. You're either on your own and face it all on your own. Or you are with him and face it with him. And if you cannot say this morning, my only comfort in life and death is that I don't belong to myself, then let that be your prayer from this day onward. Lord, lead me, call me, draw me, teach me, that I can say also that thou art my comfort in life and in death. Amen. Now I'm going to ask Ross to do the closing prayer tonight for me. Instead of me doing that, it's always nice to share this task, especially on New Year's morning. So he will do the closing prayer.
Bow before the Lord and ask his blessing. Lord God Almighty, thou who art righteous and perfect and holy in all thy ways, what a blessing it is that we may have been able to come together here in this morning hour as we begin this new year. And all, as we go into this new year, we may look back, and we can only look back with thankfulness and gratitude for all that thou hast given. Oh, yet wilt thou in this day make us a thankful people. Oh, for of ourselves we take so much for granted, and we can only be thankful unto thee for all that thou hast given. Yet wilt thou go before us in this day, give us meditation upon what lies ahead in the future. Lord, that we would only be looking unto thee in this day with a true prayer in our hearts. And oh, then as we go forward into this new year, we can only call upon thee that thou would go before us, and that especially that thou would glorify thyself in our midst. Oh, that thou would bring thy word with power and might, that thy name would be upheld, and that there would be a people who see thee for all that thou art, for a lost sinner. And may we come before thee as such a people, a people who cannot live without thee. Oh, as we go forward in this new year, Lord, we thank thee that thou hast brought Pastor into our midst and given him the ability to bring thy word into our midst. Oh, and then we can only petition thee and cry out unto thee that thou would sustain thy word in our midst, and that there would be a people who come before thee, who cannot live without thee, a people who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Lord, deal with us in thy mercy. Thou hast said in thy word that thou would make the crooked ways straight and the rough places plain. Lord, may we see that and wait upon the Lord in that, knowing that all things are in thy hands, and it is by thee that we live and move and have our existence. Oh, deal with us in thy mercy. And oh, that thou would be with our young people. We think of all that lies before them in this new year, and so many others, Lord, that have many aspirations on what shall take place and all that they shall accomplish. And Lord, we can only pray that thou would remove the love for this world and replace it with a love for thee. Lord, deal with us in thy mercy. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, our closing song is Psalter 202. There are stanzas 1, 2, and 3. In doubt and temptations, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand. Thou carest for me. 202, 1, 2, and 3. Now the Lord's blessing, and let us go together in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.